You're listening to SBS News.
Launching his leaders' summit on climate, United States President Joe Biden pledged to cut the country's greenhouse gas emissions by 50 to 52% from its 2005 levels by 2030. The goal is part of the Paris Climate Agreement, but is non-binding. Mr. Biden hasn't offered details about how the target will be achieved, but says the US isn't waiting to lead on an issue he's calling a moral and economic imperative.
You know, these steps will set America on a path of net zero emissions economy by no later than 2050. But the truth is, America represents less than 15% of the world's emissions. No nation can solve this crisis on our own. All of us, we have to step up. We know just how critically important that is, because scientists tell us this is the decade we must make decisions that will avoid the worst consequences of the climate crisis.
The Japanese and Canadian prime ministers also used the summit to commit to new 2030 targets, while Brazil's vowed to reach emissions neutrality by 2050. Reaffirming his country's commitment to carbon neutrality by 2060 and for emissions to fall from 2030, Chinese President Xi Jinping also announced a plan to limit the increase in coal consumption.
We will strictly control coal-fired power generation projects. We will strictly limit the increase in coal consumption over the 14th five-year plan period and phase it down in the 15th five-year plan period.
But he wants more developed countries to make concrete efforts to help developing countries accelerate their transitions to green and low-carbon development. It's an appeal echoed by European Council President Charles Michel.
We decided collectively to mobilise at least $100 billion a year for climate financing. The EU and our member states remain the largest contributor of public climate finance to developing countries, and we urge all developed countries to scale up their contributions. If we want to be at peace with nature, we need to chase carbon from our business model. This is the only way to change direction.
And South Africa's president, Cyril Ramaphosa.
It is important that aid on climate change should be provided separately and should not be part of conventional development assistance. When it is given in the form of loan financing, the debt burden of developing countries is worsened. We call on developed economies, which historically bear the greatest responsibility for emissions, to meet their responsibilities to developing economies.
To achieve any real progress in the fight against climate change, every country around the world needs to play its part. New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern urged all to follow her government's charge and end fossil fuel subsidies, put a price on carbon, make climate-related financial disclosures mandatory, and finance adaptation.
Our Pacific neighbours have identified climate change as the single biggest threat to their livelihoods, security, and well-being. Our collective goal here at this summit and beyond has to be effective global action on climate change. That means our collective commitments in 2021 will need to be enough to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial temperatures.
While a senior official in the Biden administration warned before the summit that there must be a shift in Australia's climate change policies, Prime Minister Scott Morrison is resisting pressure. That leaves Australia aiming for a reduction in carbon emissions of between 26 to 28% on 2005 levels by 2030, about half the size of the US's revised goal. Mr. Morrison says Australia is focused on the how of reducing emissions rather than setting new targets.
Australia is on the pathway to net zero. Our goal is to get there as soon as we possibly can through technology that enables and transforms our industries, not taxes that eliminate them and the jobs and livelihoods they support and create, especially in our regions. Future generations, my colleagues and excellencies, will thank us, not for what we have promised, but what we deliver. And on that score, Australia can always be relied upon.
But in an exchange with Federal Resources Minister Keith Pitt on the ABC's Q&A program, Greens Senator Sarah Hanson-Young slammed the government's approach, saying Australia needs to do far more.
We have to get realistic about the fact that climate change is here, and it's here because we have polluted the atmosphere and we have to stop polluting. We have to get out of fossil fuels, which is making our planet sick. And I know, you know, it's hard for you, Minister, because you've got the portfolio, you come from that area, you've been given this job from the Prime Minister. What he said about trying to divide the cities and the countries is just lazy, lazy politics. It is not... this issue is not going to be won and dealt with by dividing the nation.
Yeah.
You know, a real leader actually brings people together, educates, leads and actually speaks the truth.
The federal government says Australia's emissions reduction strategy will be updated before the United Nations Climate Summit in Glasgow in November. Amy Hall, SBS News.